COVID-19 is affecting nearly every part of our lives, and that includes preschool education. Wisconsin children enrolled in pre-kindergarten classes are still finding some learning opportunities when they're away from their desks during Wisconsin's Safer at Home order. I have a kid in 4K, and here she is talking about one of her activities she's got to accomplish today.
And this one includes cupcake liners, writing numbers with permanent markers in the bottom of the inside cupcake liners, and finding some little...
Yeah, and in the 2018-2019 school year, kids are looking for this. Last time around, Wisconsin enrolled nearly 3,000 more children in preschool than the year before. And that happened at the same time that the total state funding for preschool, adjusted for inflation, went down about 11%. And spending per child also declined. That's according to a new report from the National Institute for Early Education Research. The report also outlines some major negative impacts on pre-K education following the Great Recession. It also calls on policymakers to consider ways to avoid having the same things happen as we emerge from this coronavirus pandemic. Dr. Stephen Barnett is founder and senior co-director of the Institute based out of the Rutgers Graduate School of Education. Dr. Barnett, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks, Keely. Glad to be here.
Let's start by going backwards with the Great Recession. This report, it was actually supposed to be released earlier in the year, but then you delayed it because of there needed to be kind of a cautionary tale about the long-term dangers associated with economic crisis. So how was pre-K affected by the 2008 financial crisis?
The last crisis really hit pre-K hard. Enrollment went down, spending went down, states reduced their quality standards. So across the board, we saw cuts. And when you're 4 years old, there's not a second chance at pre-K.
And then why are we talking about that? I mean, can we draw some parallels between 2008 and what's happening now?
It's certainly a lot of uncertainty now, but the chair of the St. Louis Federal Reserve said that the economic impact of COVID-19 is not comparable to anything we've seen in U.S. macroeconomic history ever. That's not a good sign.
So you're saying we might be able to draw parallels, but what's happening now is worse than what happened
exactly
a decade ago.
It's certainly deeper. Whether it's as long-lasting, we don't know. But I think it's a warning from 2008 that the worst years for pre-K, funded by state government, were 2 years after the economic recovery had already started.
Then why the delay? Why isn't it a problem when, you know, wages are down immediately and when people are struggling in that moment? Why do we see the effects as things are recovering?
State budgets lag. State revenues come back later than the economy does. Sales taxes don't rev up immediately, income taxes, property taxes. So the revenues are slower to come back. And yet, you're quite right. You have, at the same time, a decrease in families' abilities to be able to provide high-quality early learning experiences on their own, and tight state budgets that lead to reductions in the quality, if not quantity, of services.
Dr. Barnett, then what are a few of the policy recommendations you're making then to protect or maybe even advance pre-K while we're in this pandemic and as we get out of it?
Well, one of the good things we see is that preschool is a bipartisan issue. It's not conservative or liberal. It's not Democrat or Republican. And so we're hopeful that the federal government will step up and offer states some fiscal relief that will be extended to pre-K. $1 or $2 billion a year would close the anticipated gap for the entire country. We're also looking to see better coordination between federal and state programs so we can work smarter, not just harder, to improve services to kids. And then finally, we want states to put serious resources into planning. How are we going to provide a good remote education should we have to close again? How do we make up for the losses of children who've been out of their programs? And how do we prepare for the long term, both so that we're better prepared the next time we have something like this, and also so that long-term we put these precarious preschool programs on a better financial footing for the future.
Dr. Stephen Barnett is founder and senior co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research. That's at the Rutgers Graduate School of Education. And we're talking about pre-kindergarten classes and Wisconsin's place in them. So let's get into those numbers, Dr. Barnett. As far as 2019 is concerned, what stands out to you the most when you're looking at how Wisconsin performed that year?
What stands out the most is that funding per child fell over $650, and that's in a year before the crisis. So when people are talking about cuts or hold the line, we can't have any increases in spending, they typically don't take into account that preschool is not a mature program like many of the others. It doesn't reach all the eligible children, and its budget is more unsure and as we've seen, not good in the best of years.
Do we know why that is, why we don't across the board fund pre-kindergarten classes the same way we fund K-12?
Well, it's not required. And I think that people still haven't come to fully appreciate that early learning sets the foundation for later success, that it's very difficult to make up for not providing an adequate early education before kids get to kindergarten. And so it just falls off when budgets get tight, sometimes intentionally because it doesn't have a strong constituency or interest group behind it. Sometimes I think it's just forgotten. It's a kind of orphan program.
This report has Wisconsin meeting an average of 3 out of 10 quality standard benchmarks. Where are we falling short?
Well, Wisconsin falls short primarily because it emphasizes local control, and that allows a lot of flexibility. But it means that there aren't standards for class size and ratio, and small classes, individualized attention are key for effective programs. It means there aren't the same kinds of standards, whether children are in public or non-public programs that receive public funding, for the professional development, ongoing continuous improvement. Even down to the level of vision, hearing, and health screenings and referrals aren't required. And yet we know if a child can't see or has a hearing problem, that's going to be a lifetime of difficulty if it's not addressed early.
There are some notes of optimism in this report, though, despite the grim economic outlook we're facing. Can you talk about where we can find some hope as states are evaluating their budgets and spending on pre-K going forward?
Well, we can find hope in the bipartisan spirit behind support for pre-K. Red states and blue states are equally enthusiastic, and there are not a lot of issues for which that's true. And so I think that's one reason we are hopeful that Congress might come together to support dedicated funding for early childhood programs. It's the reason that we think that states might come together and coalesce over protecting our youngest, most vulnerable children in a time of budget cuts.
Dr. Barnett, thank you so much for joining us and explaining it.
You're welcome.
That's Dr. Stephen Barnett, founder and senior co-director of the National Institute for Early Education Research. We talked with him today about the Institute's 2019 State of Preschool Report, and you can read that on our website. Just go to WPR.org. We've got a link set up for you there.